counting flowers on the wall. That don't bother me at all. Playing solitaire till dawn with the deck of 51. Smoking cigarettes and watching Captain Kangaroo. Now don't tell me I've nothing to do.
It's good. Welcome back to the Jeff Porter Show at FM Talk 106.5. Thanks for hanging out with us on this Wednesday morning. Once again, thanks to Lieutenant Governor Will Ainsworth for putting me up today. I've been a refugee here the last few weeks, but he's joining us now a little early. Governor, good morning. How are you?
Doing good. Good to have you on the seventh floor. Good to have you in our office. And, yeah, it's I guess we've had one other radio show before here, so this will be the second one.
This has been the easiest. Okay. Usually you're like trying to figure out the internet and working on the sound and all of that, positioning the mics. You won hands down.
Oh, good. We weren't even trying to win, but that's a good thing.
And then you brought us breakfast and
can't beat a Chick-fil-A biscuit, right?
We got breakfast. We got access to everything. So no, it's been great. It's been the easiest lift thus far of the session. Probably the 3 years that I've been coming here every week, this has been the easiest. And then before that, maybe a handful of times, we would do it in different places around the State House.
Yeah, you're welcome to broadcast in our office anytime you need. So,
well, this is ideal. How are things going?
It's good. From the Senate standpoint, has been pretty smooth this year. You know, I think, Pro Tem has done a good job. Garland Gudger of leading the Senate, and we've got some good military bills that we passed, working on a lot of the budget stuff right now, having discussions on that. Passed a bill yesterday dealing with SNAP, kind of limiting some things there with like candy and I think soft drinks or something. I think we're kind of, at least from the Senate standpoint, it's your normal election year where there's not a ton of controversial issues.
We were all coached up to think it was going to be. I guess aside from the PSC stuff, maybe some other minor things, but it's gone relatively drama-free up here. Downstairs, a different story, but that's a discussion for another time. Aside from the legislative session, though, this is it. I mean, lame duck dream here, right?
Yeah, no, it's been nice not having to, I'm spending my off days going to my kids' games. Whitesburg was in the basketball, Final Four yesterday. That was cool. We choked. We were up 16 points, ended up losing. Like I said, my daughter cheered there, so that was fun getting to watch her cheer. And, big experience for her getting to do that. Final Four, BJCC, pretty cool event for our school. And then, just been working on issues behind the scenes, helping people get stuff done, making sure, budgets are right, fighting for, continuing on school choice, making sure we get funding there for the future. I think that's important. But, just trying to make sure that, the things we've worked hard on over the last 8 years, whatever those issues are, that we continue to make sure, that legacy's kind of left in stone, mainly for our state's benefit, right? Just to continue pushing that. And then, after session, I think Coach will win and try to help him transition and, whatever information he needs. Going to be a little bit of a learning curve coming from D.C. to Alabama, but he'll surround himself with good people and, be fine. And then it'll be kind of, I think, fun, watching him come in and make some changes that need to be made. And
School choice funding, is there your expectation that will be fully funded?
I hope so. I think my expectation is yes. I think there's definitely groups out there, potentially AEA, right? Some other groups that anytime they can – try to chip away at that, we got to watch out for that. But my advice to them, leave it alone. And we need to make sure that parents can make a decision. We fought hard to get this in place. We've got a massive education budget. We're not talking about, it's a very small percentage, but at the end of the day, it's just taxpayer money. Taxpayers pay.
That's what people want. There's a fear. It's a persistent fear that, it won't be fully funded at some point.
And yeah. Yeah, I think certainly a fear, but I think I feel good right now. People in place are going to fund it, but we've got to make sure people of Alabama are going to be the short end of that stick.
We can pick it up on the other side. Got to get working a quick break here. We've got Will Ainsworth. He's our lieutenant governor with us. This is the Jeff Porter Show on FM Talk 106.5.
Under the barbershop pole, they set me up in the chair.
To the Jeff Porter Show at FM Talk 106.5. Thanks for sticking with us on what's left of this Wednesday morning. 251-343-0106. Quick programming note, we'll be back at the Fairhope Bureau tomorrow. I got April Murray Fogle, a couple of guests to be named later. I got to work on that after the conclusion of today's broadcast. But still with us here for another segment. We're grateful for his hospitality for sure, putting this up here. Lieutenant Governor Will Ainsworth. Governor, we were talking about getting school choice fully funded and, you know, making sure it lasts. There are some forces out there, I think, that would have it go the other way. But what I'm finding, I mean, and you could probably hear from way more people than I do around the state, at least, it's very popular.
Oh, yeah. No, I think it's one of those things that not only does the polling show it, but just anecdotal talking to people that, you know, people want it. I mean, you know, and they really like the idea of having options, right? And I think that's the whole thing, that if we're ever going to continue to move Alabama to the, you know, I think certainly we've moved a long way. We came from like near the bottom. Now we're in the 30s. So, I mean, that's good. But, I mean, kind of the next step is, and people don't want to say this, but some of these failing schools need to shut down, right? And when you do that, those kids that are in that school got to have options, right? And, you know, that's what school choice is about, is letting parents decide. I mean, there's no reason that a kid should be doomed just because they're zoned for a failing school. Or, heck, man, a school just doesn't fit for them, you know? I mean, so, you know, if you're a Christian parent, want to send your kid to a Christian school, you know, then you should be able to do that, right? If they're really smart at math and science, you want to send them to math and science school or a charter school or whatever, then I think you should do that. So I think it's going to continue to grow. But again, I mean, you know, so many people want to just go back to, not so many, there's some people, right, mainly insiders of Montgomery that want to go back to the way it is and or used to be, and which is just only public schools. That's the, you know, and right, we're not going to fix anything. We just need more money. Right. I mean, good grief. I mean, money's not the problem. I think Chairman Garrett said it best, wrote a good op-ed on that, you know. And so, you know, they record funding. You know, if you got record funding in my world from the business side, you should get record results. And, you know, I think some of the schools are, but I also got to be honest, some aren't. So anyway, I think, you know, my goal and hopefully vision for Alabama is we just continue to do that. And then I think just like, and a vision for pre-K, let everybody be able to have it. Goal for school choice, let everybody have the option that wants to go. And we check that. Then we start looking at other stuff. You know, how do we fix inner cities? I mean, that's a big deal. And it's one of our problems. What do we do in the Black Belt? I mean, and
a lot of it's just cultural. And, you know, is there a government solution for parents who just don't invest the time and effort into their kids' education?
Yeah, I think there is, because I think, you know, in my mind, if there's a situation where the parents aren't doing their job, right, that's unfortunate for the kid. But I still think that if the public school is failing that child too, and so let's just say you got a kid, the parents don't care, they're not going to yank him out of school, and the school's failing, well, I think it's our job as a state to shut down these failing schools and at least have the kid in a school that's disciplined, right, that teaches, you know, great academics, right, that's going to, you know, teach them to learn to obey rules and, you know, and there, so when they get out, they'll obey laws, right?
Right,
I mean,
right.
So, and I think what we've been okay with is, oh, it's just, you know, that school's historically failing, generational poverty, generational crime, there's nothing we can do there. My opinion is wrong answer. I think you shut that school down and go in and, you know, do magnet schools, do charter schools, potentially open up, you know, some private school options, right? But anyway, I mean, that's a lot more in-depth conversation we got time for now, but I think just giving up on those kids because they got a bad, you know, home life and they're zoned for a failing school, that just dooms the kid.
Kind of a tangential to this is the High School Athletic Association. You were at the event yesterday and the BJCC, but where are we at that? You know, you've been kind of involved in that. Do you see any sort of truce or something along those lines?
Yeah, I'll say this. I mean, so my meetings with Director Harmon have been good. They've been, I think, productive. I think that short-term and long-term, I think, you know, private and public schools, there's some different solutions looking at to try to get everybody happy. And at the end of the day, what we got to remember is this isn't about public schools. This isn't about private schools. It's what's best for student athletes. And that's who I'm advocating for, whether you're public or private. And so I've been, I've been happy with the meetings I've had with him and the response, right? And I know, you know, look at, 18-19, you know, was very involved in just highlighting truth about Scottsboro and, you know, what happened there. And for those of y'all that don't know, because I know that's not in the area in South Alabama, it's a school in North Alabama that double reported their homeschool students. They let them know. For some reason, they didn't make that change. They ended up fixing that, right? So that's an example of, hey, we made an error. We let you know. They fixed it. So that's good, right? Now we got to figure out, okay, what do we do for, you know, there's all kind of different situations that are tough, and I think we'll come up with solutions and get it fixed. So far, you know, they kept their word on private school committee. They're getting ready to hire somebody that's going to be assistant director. They'll be involved in that. And then I think just allowing them to have a seat at the table is a big deal so they can hear their concerns. And as long as Alabama High School Athletic Association looks out for all student athletes, then I'm okay.
What was the issue with the status quo and the multiplier? Like, why was that not satisfactory?
Yeah, I mean, so the argument from the smaller public schools, if the private schools have an advantage and they're winning all these championships, you know, looking at each classification, really the only place where that plays in is kind of 2A and 3A in the old model, the 7A model, where private schools probably do win a lot higher percentage of championships. But I think that stuff could have been tweaked. And I think what you'll see in the future, my opinion, is a hybrid model with like 4A, 5A, 6A, 7A coming back. And then probably 1A through 3A will be separated private versus public. And, you know, they'll play during regular season, but playoffs will be separated 4A through 7A. Because in the day, it's just, you know, there's not a lot of schools for the McGill-Toolins, the Briarwoods, the UMS Wright, the St. Paul's to play.
Right.
They need to be back playing public schools in the playoffs. And I think, but I think what you'll see that I think is a good fix out of all this is competitive balance for all schools, right? Not just private.
No.
Because, I mean, you know, there's schools that dominate that are public too.
It's really died down. So it makes me think that there's something at work here that,
yeah, I think it's all good. Like I said, I'm thankful and appreciative of Director Harmon and, you know, him listening and actually finding solutions. So it's been good.
Well, you got, you know, another, what, 7-8 months here, Lieutenant Governor. Have you thought about what happens after you leave office yet?
Yeah, you know, jokingly, just got bought a boat. So I'll be down in y'all's part of the world more often. Yeah. So fishing. Looking forward to that. No, I think, look, I've got a real estate business, construction business, will definitely be more engaged in that. Then I'm going to start a group called Moving Alabama Forward that will work on issues to move our state forward, right? And we're going to have a policy conference. We're going to be engaged in marketing, trying to drive the conversation on what can we do to improve our state, keep it conservative. It'll be from a conservative standpoint on issues such as education, right?
Right.
Because I'm passionate about that. Because, I mean, we got a lot of work still to do on workforce development, recruiting industry, what we can do. Because I think we need that. And I think, you know, look, there's a lot of people could do it. I think I bring an interesting perspective from the fact I understand politics, you know, from the private sector. You know, look at my record, one of the strongest conservatives in the legislature. And so I think we need that voice still out there. And, you know, I plan to help coach and the legislature get done what they want to. It'll be fun. So,
well, part of this, you have a plank in the platform to improve the roads in this state, primarily, I guess, widening 65.
Yes, that will certainly be part of it. I-65, I think, I'm not going to be quiet on that. And I'm hopeful that when we get a new ALDOT director that actually does what's best for the state instead of however he makes his decision. I don't think he intentionally tries to do things that aren't best for the state, but I think his decisions clearly show that. And I think when we get Governor Tuberville, I think we'll get after it. And I think he'll do some legacy projects like that. And I believe that.
And I-10, the longstanding.
Baldwin Beach Expressway. I mean, that's three I can think of that impact the coastal area. 65, 10, and, you know.
I made a crazy trip around the state yesterday. I drove from Mobile to Tuscaloosa, Tuscaloosa to Auburn. I live Tuscaloosa, from Mobile to Tuscaloosa. I mean, there's just, it seems like ALDOT is a fascination with the western part of the state. And there's this new blacktop on road. You don't see cars on at all. It's just kind of crazy.
Yeah, no, I mean, if you want to do a fun story for anybody out there listening, you know, go drive through some of these areas, particular, in southwestern part of the state. Nothing against that part of the state, but I'm just saying, just go drive through there and see the traffic versus compared to 65 or Baldwin County or Mobile, I-10, or, you know, it doesn't make sense, right? Or up where I'm from in Huntsville.
Yeah.
I mean, you know,
we had Anthony Daniels on, and that's what we talked about. Like, they don't, everybody feels like they're not getting their just due. I get it. I mean, it's just what we've done in this state ever since I've been, probably forever. But I there are tangible needs. And a guy from Baldwin County, you drive up 65, and it's mind numbing that the checkout time at Orange Beach is impacting traffic at Chilton County.
Yeah, no, that's wild. I mean, I think at the end of the day, I mean, I was on 65 yesterday coming from Birmingham. We got stuck in two different areas. Fortunately, some of the construction's starting. You know, I want to thank Governor Ivey for that. But, again, the frustrating thing for me about Alabama is we don't have a plan about what we're going to do for the next 6 to 10 years that actually addresses any of these concerns. It's kind of like we react here. I-10 should have already been done. Right? I mean, like, honestly. And it's just...
Well, the plan should have been in place, but it just seems like you make it up. It's bad policy to make it up as you go along.
Right. And then they come up with this, like, super elaborate bridge that we can't afford, right? Instead of just a... And then the price goes out, so then they come up with, oh, we're going to have to toll it, right? Well, I mean, that was a bad idea. And so I think just a lack of vision of leadership and not getting stuff done from ALDOT has really held our state back. And certainly on our new group, Moving Alabama Forward, we're going to highlight that and, encourage the leaders to, like, because now I think you're going to have a new ALDOT director. I don't think there's any way John Cooper stays, right, under a Tuberville.
He's going to be the longest serving highway director or transportation director in state history. He was the very first cabinet official that Bentley named when he was elected.
Yeah, and I mean, I look forward to having some new cabinet people and, fresh faces and new ideas.
Is this town going to be ready for that? I mean, you're moving at a snail's pace now, it seems like. Tuberville's going to come in with all these fresh ideas. How does Montgomery react to, like, 0 to 60?
Yeah, I don't think they like it, but I think it's a good thing for the state.
Yeah.
I think our state needs it. I think it's time for that. And I think, my message to, everybody get ready to work. I mean, that's, it'll be a good thing. I mean, certainly government should move at the same pace of business and what we expect in the private sector, and it hasn't been. And so I think this will be good, and I look forward to it, man. I think it's going to be great. So I'll be with you, just kind of sitting back, throwing out ideas, eating the popcorn, watching, and we're going to like it.
Yeah, the same things that have – I grew up in Alabama. I grew up in Shelby County, and the same things that have been plaguing the state continue to this day. And, I'm just kind of stunned at, especially road projects, prisons. How long have we been talking about prisons? And by the time whatever improvement is put in place, it's time for the next improvement,
Yeah.
So it's like this long-term vision this long-term plan just never seems to come together.
Yeah, no, I think, like I said, I think it'll be good. I think the shakeup's good. I think, you know, whether you like President Trump or not, I like him, but I think it's been good for our country to have somebody go in there and shake it up. And look, and I mean, here's the other thing. There's still a lot of waste in government. I mean, you know, that's one of my things, like, from a business standpoint, like, you know, and everybody's like, oh, why don't you cut? I don't have the authority to cut it as lieutenant governor, right? But as governor, you know, chief executive, you better believe, man, you can cut a lot of stuff. And so I'm excited about potentially trimming government in some areas that need it. And then the thing is, like, it's going to, you know, allow us to use that money to even give tax cuts to people or, you know, go in and actually you do some of these projects, you know, like, you know, 65 I-10, because those things are expensive, right? I mean,
they are. They get more expensive by the day. So the longer you wait, you know, we're double the cost from when we first started talking about this.
All right. So I got a question for you. Do you think Auburn is going to make the NCAA tournament? Because we are about as much of a bubble team as you can be right now.
I mean, I'm leaning toward it. I know the reality. I don't expect us to win Saturday. But if we can win a couple of games in the SEC tournament, I think last four in kind of scenario would probably be the case. You just watch it last night. I was hopeful, but they're playing an LSU team that just isn't that great.
Yeah, I follow Joe Lenardi on Twitter, and he's got his – but we're right on the even last four in or first four out. So yeah. I'll be curious to see today if we moved up from
the I'll still – NIT, if we host a home game, I'll do what I – you know – I'm excited about Auburn baseball. I don't know if you keep up with that.
We're big baseball fans. Yeah. Love our coach. Love our program.
I'm watching a lot of baseball because the basketball and football have been such a bummer.
We'll have to figure out a game to go to. That'll be good.
Yeah, but so, I pulled in last night, and we got to get to a break real quick here, but pulled in last night, and it's like, man, the parking lots are way fuller for this game than they were for the Kentucky game because we had the Kentucky-Auburn basketball game.
How was that game?
And I took my one-year-old's very first game. And
great game.
He hung in till the end, even though it tipped off past his bedtime.
Man, dad of the year.
I know. You should see the pictures. But I got there, and then I realized, oh, they're playing Sanford in baseball across the street. That's why the parking lots are full.
Got it.
I had some real Beardy Eve Memorial Coliseum vibes last night at the game, a lot of empty seats. We got to get a break in here. We'll be right back. This is the Jeff Porch Show on FM Talk 106.5.
We all picked the cotton, but we never got rich. Daddy was a veteran, a Southern Democrat. They ought to get a rich man to vote like that. Singing song, song of the South. Sweet potato pie and I shut my mouth. Gone, gone with the wind. Hello, Kansas. Sweet Bill Farmer, let me thank you for your time. You work a 40-hour week for a living. Just to send it on down the line.
Welcome back to the Jeff Porch Show at FM Talk 106.5. Thanks for sticking with us on what's left of this Wednesday morning. Once again, thanks to the Lieutenant Governor Ainsworth for hosting us today. This is, like I said, you have been very very accommodating today.
Hey, nah, you're our friend. Want to take care of you, man. So glad you're here. And then next week, you say you're doing Senate week or something. Is that right?
You know, the plan was the House 1 week, the Senate the next week, and the Senate's turn next week. This was, in theory, it was supposed to be a House day, but the turmoil downstairs, I've kind of, you know, steering clear of that as much as possible. And this is, you've taken us in here, kind of homeless for the week.
Yeah, like I said, you're welcome to. I don't know if you're broadcasting here next week or not. If you want to, you're welcome to. So, yeah.
Well,
yeah.
We may take you up on that. We are certainly storing this gear here in your chief of staff's office.
There you go. Yeah, absolutely.
Hey, coming up here shortly, we got Midday Mobile. Sean, what you got?
What I've got is some jealousy. My time in Montgomery, I've never been able to do a show from Lieutenant Governor's office. I kind of feel. I feel jealous now. It sounds good. The internet, the internet's solid, Sean, there.
Sean, come on, anytime, buddy. We'd love to have you.
Okay, because the internet, this is the most solid internet connection we've ever had from Goat Hill.
It is. It's not sputtering or anything. So,
It's good. I like it. Yeah, so coming up in a couple minutes, we'll break into this Midday Mobile show. Cameron Smith is going to join me. Also, Erica Thomas is joining me. Hour number two. And something we're going to do for the next, 2 months, this month, next month, and into May, Mobile County Probate Judge Mark Irwin is going to join me. You got questions leading into the primary, voting questions. We're thinking about kind of what happened to municipals around here. He's on with me monthly from now through the primary. You got an election question, I got the man on to ask, and he'll join us at 1 o'clock today.
Well, and wasn't there some hiccups last time around?
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. I mean, just on the municipal side.
Yeah.
Hiccups. I think I'm talking about fully stopped breathing.
Well, yeah, just like people not being recognized in the voter rolls, right?
Told you're inactive. They're like, yeah, I was just out here the last election cycle. So I talked about it with him back then, the things that happened. He wasn't in charge of that at a municipal level, right. But he did have some ideas about it. But he's going to join us to talk about the upcoming primary election. So if you got questions, I got somebody to answer them coming up at 1.
All right. Y'all stay tuned for that Midday Mobile, Sean Sullivan. Well, Governor, once again, thank you for putting us up today. We'll do this again, I'm sure, in the near future.
Yeah, sounds good.
All right, guys. I got to get out of here. It has been a pleasure. We'll try to do better tomorrow. Sorry, Phyllis. I forgot to say goodbye. This has been the Jeff Porras Show on FM Talk 106.5. This is where